next on Girlfriend.
The opportunities and the circumstances are only as extreme as we need them to wake ourselves up to the greater possibilities of ourselves. Why rebuild the same structure? To pull it down again. Build anew. Build from a new place. Build from a new attitude. Build from a new reality.
Today on Girlfriend, can your relationship survive a stormy financial time? And later on the program, it's building blocks for better relationships, curiosity, and how can it be used in difficult times or to resolve conflict? Welcome to Girlfriend, Relationship Radio Rebooted. Your host, hypnosis practitioner and full-time psychic, Cynthia Chavan. I'm Jeff Newman for B2GX.com. Of course, we thank you for clicking on to us. Also in the studio, John Miles, Cynthia's husband and a certified practitioner of hypnosis and NLP. And we're discussing stormy financial times, many folks going through it right now. How does that affect a relationship? Aside from the obvious, I can't go out to dinner because I don't have the money.
Well, it certainly does put the emphasis on the relationship, because finances, along with other kinds of weather, because I like the way you said stormy financial situations, or just weather. They come and they go. They pass. They're just another behavioral situation, another set of clothes. When you get down naked, what's left is the relationship. It's extensive. It can go with finances. It can go with children coming into the world, children leaving the home. But finances is certainly one that's preoccupying most people. But it goes back down to, what is the foundation built on? If you have a strong foundation of a relationship, two individuals coming together to create the third energy of a relationship, finances are no bigger problem than a day-to-day.
Most people can rationalize the fact that when there is a severe financial, a job loss, or the people affected by the Madoff investment scam, they will rationalize it as saying, it's just money. I still have my health. Thank goodness for that. But the it's just money only goes so far, because the money does fuel most folks' lives. How do you rationalize that, and how do you put that into practice? In theory, it makes sense. We've all said that. Oh, it's I lost some money in the stock market. It's just money. At least I'm healthy.
Oh, I understand totally. And it's not to belittle the necessity or the desire to have money. Money, I think, is a great thing. But what I'm saying is when you take the money away, it's only once again clothing on top of a basic relationship. The foundation is either cracked or it's not. The finances are not going to crack the relationship. It may show that a relationship is cracked, but it's not going to crack the relationship. If the foundation is strong, you can come up with a number of different ways to get yourself out of it financially, because you're working together as a team. You're focused. The foundation is sturdy. You have some place to go back to. You have some place to go home to.
We were talking in a break about, you know, there's the old saying, there's no I in team. But there's no team before there's an I.
That's correct.
Yeah. Or as Michael Jordan used to say, whenever anyone said there's no I in team, he goes, there is in win.
Absolutely. It's perfecto. Wonderful. Yes. You got to have the I first, then you can have the team.
Okay. With that all understood, and with a solid foundation, to overcome severe financial times, that is stressful, and it is usually a time suck in a relationship, because one or both of the breadwinners or all of the members of the family have to work harder to maintain some sort of normalcy, whether it's paying the rent or putting food on the table. It becomes a very different day-to-day when you have all this other drama sucking time out of your relationship with your family.
It doesn't have to suck time out. And yes, it does take more time, but if everybody's rowing the boat, and again, that goes back to the team, because you're in a team. If you've got a good foundation, then you have a good relationship, and a good relationship is a good team, and everybody's on the same boat, and we're rowing here, and it gives a common goal and a common place to what do we need to do financially to resolve this outside external issue to our relationship, because it's not the relationship. It's a circumstance that is created in today's economy, and you may be experiencing it and choosing to experience it, but is not the foundation of the relationship. So therefore, the relationship can survive. The finances can be resolved. Ultimately, the finances can clear themselves because they have two people with the same goal and the same measure of intent and the same quality of dedication to coming up with resolve for the financial situation. So it's the put the financial situation over there. Put yourself and your mate here, meaning your mate and yourself stand present. And this is a circumstance that both of you, one of you, or the economy and the co-creation of the whole thing has come together, and you're experiencing a form of lack at this time. That can be financial, that can be a number of things, but it is a circumstance. It is not the root of the issue. It's not the root of the relationship. And as long as it's not the root of the relationship and the relationship is solid, it's like getting naked, taking off your clothes. You know, if you got financial problems, it takes off some of those clothes so you can see what your body looks like underneath. Well, you know, maybe you want to lose 10 pounds, you know, after you take a look. Maybe you want to start by structuring your relationship a little bit better to begin with. Because once you get naked, it's a perfect opportunity to look at the relationship and to disclose it, discard everything that's around it. Say, what do we have now and how do we move forward to build what we want to build together. So it can actually be a great opportunity of discovering whether your relationship has cracks, whether the foundation's strong, and an opportunity to build the foundation again. Like I said, getting naked with yourself and each other.
Now, I know you're from New Orleans, and something in recent years, the past 5 or 6 years, that people tend to focus on is the aftermath of Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
What had happened to a lot of the folks down there is obviously devastation. And out of no fault of their own, Mother Nature. Okay,
right.
It took away my home. It took away.
It wasn't Mother Nature.
Okay.
Don't get us started on
okay.
that. It was the
okay,
federally
but,
funded
yeah,
levy system.
But okay, yeah, okay. We got what you got.
The reason for the devastation was not something that they created themselves.
Yes.
Okay, and so they had no control over the devastation.
Right.
Now to rebuild, have you found that there has been success in a familiar relationship with people banding together for one common good, and maybe they had to move out of the area to rebuild, maybe they had to stay there and become a part of a team. Have you found that there's been success, or has there been a lot of unsuccessful relationships where that added drama was just too much to withstand the pressure?
Well, you know, my mom and dad lost their house. They lost everything. They had a bag of clothes when they left. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, as many years as they've been married, it could have created stress both for them physically to leave the earth because they're elderly, mm-hmm. and amongst each other. And they chose that that's not the road to go. My mother dealt with it on a daily basis by taking a walk and praying. And she'd release the energy every day. It's very hard, particularly on older people. It's one thing you, I, John, we lose, we got time to rebuild. When you take somebody 80 years old, 85 years old, they lose everything. There's no time to rebuild. Their congruency in their world has been shattered. So she dealt with it from taking, not necessarily, it didn't mean anything, but that I'm here today.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I got. If I have stress, I connect. I take a walk. I breathe it out. And she's still here. And she's 91.
Well, and are they still living in the area?
Yes,
are they living down there?
Absolutely. They rebuilt. If they can rebuild their house at 89 and 90, and they rebuilt not just their house, but their platform, their relationship to the city, nothing, they have just gone back to the same situation that they were in before as far as their day-to-day living, mm-hmm. without any repercussions of this, but they did it by taking it day by day. And of course, my father did it because my mother told him to. And that's about right, huh?
That's an accurate description of the relationship.
All right, well, there's a success story. I can't firsthand.
I had sort of a quick insight here. In a previous life, I used to smoke. I no longer smoke. I don't think about smoking. I don't talk about smoking. I don't. But when you smoke as an individual, or, you know, you could call it soccer games, you could call it drugs, you could call it money, when that common link, I no longer smoke, so all the people that were my smoker friends, I don't hang out with. It's the same thing. If the relationship was based on financial success, someone was just marrying the other person for money, and then the money goes away, well, there wasn't a relationship there to begin with.
You're probably right, but as the course of a relationship builds and the financial success and stability of the household becomes more stable and mm-hmm. you get more used to it, the things that could chip away at the foundation of a relationship aren't as evident because we can go to that doctor, we can afford it, we can take that vacation to, you know, defuse every 6 months, every 8 months. Without that, those are things that will add stress to a relationship and could chip away at the foundation. How would you advise someone?
I don't think it chips away at the foundation. I think it chips away at the illusion of the relationship.
Well, you to know, some, that's reality.
Yeah, well,
that's not, my everyday.
Not, you can put yourself as that's your reality, but nature will always show you that it's not your reality, because that's what the point of the chipping away is to get down to the relationship versus getting lost in the illusion of the things that you share together that fundamentally change day by day. The relationship is first to oneself, then to the other. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying as far as, gee whiz, this will chip away at the foundation. If it can chip away at the foundation of yourself, then you're over-identified with your circumstance, which means that it's not really your foundation, it's your illusion, because the foundation is the same and solid no matter what the circumstance is. They've proven this over and over and over again by the people who survived the Holocaust. You know, they know who they were, they had a strong foundation, and they did not let the circumstance run their mind. They ran their own thoughts, they ran their own mind. And if people can do that in such an extreme as to survive that, certainly we as individuals can do it on less extreme things, such as finances.
So you're saying extremes can reveal the foundations of the foundations of a relationship.
Yeah, get naked. You get naked with yourself. Oh, I like naked. You get naked with yourself. Naked with the other person. you get naked and you get down to, what is my relationship built on? Who am I having a relationship with first? Myself. Secondly, who's the second person I'm having a relationship with? I'm having a relationship with John. What is that based on? What's the foundation of that? What's the creation of that? And then everything else is an expression, a circumstance, a behavior, a pattern, an old pattern, a new pattern, a present day thought pattern. And that is all the stuff that's on the top. That's the glamour. That's the glamour, like they do with the, you know, vampires. That's the glamour. So you can mesmerize you in thinking that that's the reality from which you're living in. And to me, the foundation of myself is my connection to my divinity and the expression from that place. To me, having a relationship with John is knowing myself and being with him as himself, not my projection of him or who I wish him to be, but enjoying, being curious, loving, and being grateful for the individual that's in front of me. Unique, separate, and different.
That's Cynthia Chavan. You're listening to Girlfriend. It's Relationship Radio Rebooted. A little bit of a twist this week as we're talking about finances. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to actually give you some building blocks for better relationships and kind of practically put into place ways in which this theoretical idea of not chipping away at the foundation can actually be augmented into your own household. You're listening to BDGX.com. Girlfriend, it's Relationship Radio Rebooted. I'm Jeff Newman. Cynthia Chavan, our hypnosis practitioner and full-time psychic, is here. John Miles as well. We've been talking about the financial world and how to cope with financial stress. We're going to recap for just a minute, but John, why don't you let us know how to get in touch with you and how to get more information, also how we can upload the podcast.
Sure, absolutely. The podcast is available on iTunes. Currently there, you can go to iTunes.com and type in Girlfriend, and it pops up there pretty much on the top. Alternately, you can go to Cynthia's website. That's CynthiaChavan.com. That's Cynthia, CHAUVIN.com. And you can listen to the podcast right there, or you can download the podcast right there. Also, there are show notes sort of encapsulating what we've been talking about, and if anything's been referenced in the show, we'll post it there as well.
Now, again, we've been talking about how to deal with financial stress in a relationship, how it shouldn't crack away at the foundation, which is how Cynthia was terming it earlier. Why don't we recap a little bit, Cynthia? But what I'm really interested in is some practical means. What can people do to help deal with that situation? And it's not just finance. These are things that people deal with on an everyday basis. But stress within the household, how do we deal with it? How do we overcome it? What are some of the things that we can institute in our lives to make it easier?
Well, let's first recap that A, financial stress or any other kind of stress that enters a relationship can only expose the cracks in a relationship. It will not crack away at the relationship. It is an experience. And if you keep it an experience versus the foundation of the relationship, you will be able to resolve all issues that surround you. You can become a team. Secondly, when there's financial troubles, get creative. There are so many things we can do. Start talking to one another more. Very simple. Cook a dinner together. Take a walk together. Hold hands together. Talk about things that you want to do in the future. Talk about things you can do now. The creativity gets stifled by so many experiences, and money, believe it or not, can be a stifling experience. It can also be very creative. It just depends upon how you use it. So you can move it together with it, or you can move separate. Most people have a tendency of moving separate when finances are very, very fluid. They tend to go off. But if you bring it back down, read a book, talk about the book, enjoy each other more and more and more on a personal level, you'd find that you can become very creative of ways to get out of the financial situation as well. Because most of it's just fog. You can't see how to develop the next financial high point when there's so much fog about the loss of what has already passed. But if you get in touch with one another, you'd be amazed with two people how much you can come up with to do, as you've seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, the example I gave off air was maybe 15, 16 years ago when Hurricane Andrew hit Miami. About 9-10 months after that was an increase in the birth rate in the area. So obviously there's things to do when the lights are out. One other thing I wanted to mention is in this society where there is such a huge influx now of unemployment and people getting laid off and a lot of companies not doing well and people dealing with that issue, even folks who are still employed but have had to take a mandatory pay cut, There is some sort of a comfort in dealing with an issue that others are involved with. Maybe there's a neighbor, maybe you have a friend or a relative or someone within the 6 degrees of separation going through something similar, and that energy combined, you know, whether it's a conversation can yield a new business plan or a new approach.
Absolutely.
to getting a new gig or cutting out of your financial straits.
Absolutely. It's a fertile ground. It cracks the egg, which makes you can fry the egg any which way you want from there. So it cracks the status quo. And once the status quo is cracked, you can take a look at what the foundation is and build a whole new foundation. End up better than where you were. It's just like we're saying before, relationships breathe. So does your finances. Your finances breathe. Your emotions breathe. People come, they go. All those things are part of the creative energy to expand your awareness and your consciousness of your own creativity, your own individuality, and your own connection. And if you stop taking them as your identification, identifying with the experience itself, in other words, oh, poor me, I'm a victim, I lost my job, oh, poor me, now I can only eat this instead of that. If you take it as a creative opportunity, they become less extreme. It's almost like the opportunities and the circumstances are only as extreme as we need them to wake ourselves up to the greater possibilities of ourselves. So we don't need them as extreme. So you'll find that your finances don't fluctuate as much as they would have if you're self-introspective to begin with, because then nothing has to knock that hard to get your attention.
But what winds up happening in our society, and certainly with professionals that have reached a certain level of expertise, a certain level of success, is that complacency can set in, or the lack of curiosity will start to set in because you don't need to find out that much more. I'm comfortable.
Right.
I do it the same way every day, and that's fine because I can afford to.
Right.
Which moves us into this week's building block for better relationships, and that is curiosity. And how it can be used in difficult times, or how the actual act of being curious can resolve conflict. John?
I'm going to just briefly talk about curiosity here. I have an interesting story I want to tell you about how Cynthia and I met. I'm actually not going to tell you the story. If you want to know the story, you're going to have to go to our website, twodragons.com, and you're going to see the story of how we met there. But the sense of curiosity, the idea and the actual feeling
that was
of
sneaky.
Curiosity.
I like that.
The actual idea of curiosity. That sense, that feeling like, oh, I can remember the name of the band. Oh, or what was the name of that actor in that movie? That sort of, oh, it's going to be filled in. That anchor, that thought, that sense of curiosity is something that you can bring to your new life, your post-financial stress life. People are selling houses. They're losing jobs. They're doing all sorts of different things. Use that sense, that palpable sense of curiosity to find out what the next thing is in your life.
To rebuild. Not rebuild. How about this? Build anew. Why rebuild the same structure? To pull it down again. Build anew. Build from a new place. Build from a new attitude. Build from a new reality. Build for a new experience.
Because that can work not just in the wake of financial stress. Curiosity is an important part of growth.
It's wisdom is on the other side of a question. And getting curious, I think people get complacent, like you mentioned. I think that people get, I don't know, lazy is a strong word. People get inertia. They go in a direction for a while and nothing until someone gets in a car accident or something happens, you get knocked out of these things. And if you can get into that sense of curiosity, that palpable feeling of curiosity, it leads in interesting and wonderful places.
They get homogenized with their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And then they forget the I within it. So circumstances that change continually, that bring up the weather, such as financial structures that fall apart, everything falls apart for expansion. Plants grow out of their pot. People grow out of their environment.
See, people in Florida, they got curious. They got a little baby out of the deal.
Now, Ken, the act of curiosity or the acts that come out of being curious, can that be a negative? Can that be dangerous? Some ways of being too curious about something, delving into something or an area or that you shouldn't.
Let's start off with the foundation of everything is the connection to the divinity, and curiosity stems from there, not from the ego that's looking for yet another junk place to put their emotions and their attitudes and their latitudes and longitudes, so to speak.
Well, that's sort of the point I'm making, is that if you become very curious about different things, I don't want to get too hard into religion because people are very touchy about that. But if you really read into different religions, you'll find that some of them may not make sense when you see what someone else wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, or mm-hmm. someone else's interpretation on why we're here and how we got here. That's what I mean by a negative, because it could rock your boat. It could rock mm-hmm. some of the traditions that you've inherited from your parents and generations before. Yeah. If that's a negative, how does one deal with this quest for curiosity?
It may not be a negative.
Why would it be a negative to be able to read the same thing and get a larger picture out of it?
I don't know. Go ask a priest why the newer book is better than the old one.
Well, I think that has to do with a sense of power. I don't think that has to do with a sense of divinity. People, once again, get comfortable, and they get comfortable with a certain amount of power. And if my book's better than your book, then I've got the power and you don't have the power. And if you read it differently and you find that both books are inherently giving you and delivering you the power, in other words, you are the power. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that I've ever read on either side empowers the individual. You know, that which I can do, you can do, over and over and over again. But the interpretations was taken to where it empowered the church or the religious sect versus the individual. Why? I think it's economics. I think it created an economic situation where, you know, religion had a certain amount of, you pay me this and then I'll save your soul.
Not to get too deep in there, but also the books that we read today were only survived because of the people who won those wars. And those other mm-hmm. books, which may have been just as interesting and uplifting and self-empowering, just
Very
don't exist
true.
Anymore.
It was edited. It was edited for power. It was interpreted and edited for power. But if you read the basic structure
right.
and you read the words behind the words, you know, I listen to the Born Again Christian station all the time. I'm not a Born Again Christian,
mm-hmm.
but I am. Yeah.
Because information is power.
Right. Well, because I do believe a great deal of what they have to say is very clear. It's just homed in the manner in which they wish to home it in. To me, I take a broader picture of the same statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Christ is in everyone.
And that doesn't necessarily mean you need to vote for Sarah Palin.
Right.
Or whoever.
And that's a whole other show.
That is.
But let's get back to curiosity, because I am intrigued by it, which most people are. That's why it's called curiosity. Give me another practical example of how that can be used as a building block in a relationship. Should people, or should, even in the business place, can the quest for expansion be a benefit?
Can the quest for expansion?
Or being curious.
Yeah.
How can I climb that ladder quicker than the guy who sits next to me?
So which one? You want to do the relationship, or you want to do the business?
The relationship in work,
relationship.
I think it's probably
financial stress and work relationship.
Right. Works the same way, right? When you're in...
You know, the thing about a financial work relationship is it's inherently transactional. Mm-hmm. You're paid to be there.
Right.
But you can still be curious about the other individual. And whenever you show honest curiosity, it will pay off in the actions of the other individual, because
everybody at work wants to talk about themselves, that's for sure. So I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
They'll think you're a fascinating conversationalist and they will have talked the entire time.
The other dynamic is people work to support their life. They don't live for work, at least they shouldn't. There are people who do. But in this, again, scary financial times, the work situation is also a competitive situation. I want to matriculate. I want to get a better gig, maybe within this company. I'm curious about how I can do that. I want to do it quicker and better than the guy next to me. There's nothing unhealthy about that, I don't think.
No.
But how do we use that to our advantage without becoming that backstabbing guy who sits next to me?
I think it's self-talk. I think it starts with yourself. I think it starts with the self every single time. You don't ever have to make somebody wrong to make yourself right. You don't have to make somebody dull to shine. So if you are in constant conversation with yourself, that if you're not going in the direction you want to go in, which is financial security, you have to ask yourself, what language do I have installed in my mind, my body, my soul, that's expressing itself in a feeling of lack, which is then multiplying itself in experience?
I have an interesting point. You're bringing up curiosity. Well, curiosity is about advancing within, you're talking about advancing within a set structure. And I would say that I know a fellow who was in the financial services industry. He got out of business school, went into finance, but his heart has always been in sports. He's always wanted to be in sports events and things like that. That's where he really enjoyed it. Now, he has three kids, and he's got bills like everybody else, but this is the only time in financial turbulence. This is pretty much the time that he has an opportunity to make that new decision. And I think he's going to go that way. He's going to try to bridge the gap. He had to be curious with himself. Is this really, you know, is his financial thing, it wasn't really his authentic self. His heart's not in it. Mm-hmm. I knew that the moment I met him.
So,
but you got him talking about sports, you can see his eyes light up.
And
he wants to do golf. He's passionate about
it. Right.
So being curious with yourself as opposed to being, you know, sure, curious about how you can work in an existing structure. But I honestly think that being open and flexible and being curious about, hey, maybe I really am not happy in this financial gig. That's what he said.
The circumstances reveal everything, don't they?
Yeah.
And when they crack, it opens the egg, it opens the reality that we've shielded ourselves from other possibilities from, even though everybody says, gee whiz, we love more possibilities.
Yeah.
No, people like status quo, they like to familiarity, and familiarity, like they say, you know, will breed contempt.
Everybody loves change as long as it's not happening to them.
Right?
So curiosity is about truly being authentic. And I think that authentic self is... it's
awaken the sleeper within.
Yes,
we all have someone that sleeps inside of us. That is our divine purpose, our divine knowledge, our divine wisdom that wants to express itself. And in chaos and turbulence and in weather is a great opportunity to wake them up and say, okay, where do we really want to go? What do we really want to do?
Well, I never thought it would be appropriate to use a quote from one of my favorite comedians, but Stephen Wright did say this once upon a time, and that was, curiosity killed the cat. but I was a prime suspect. I have no idea what that means, but it's a great way to close the show. You've been listening to Girlfriend. It's Relationship Radio Rebooted. Cynthia Chauvin. Be sure to visit CynthiaChauvin.com. That's Cynthia, CHAUVIN.com, to download the show there, or you can now subscribe to Girlfriend on iTunes. Thanks so much for listening to BDigiX.com.